Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to another episode of Peter's Proffer here in the courtroom of current events. And today we've got a guest that is a finance blogger, and it's picked up from a couple different websites, and he focuses on a number of different aspects of personal finance. So we're going to dig into what kind of the building blocks of his website are, and we're going to talk a lot about finance, but we're also going to talk about blogging in general, since that's a hot topic these days, what it takes to kind of build a successful blog. So it's going to be a cool podcast all around, hitting a bunch of different topics. So thanks for listening in as always. Hopefully you guys like this podcast. You can subscribe to it. You can like it on Facebook, like it on iTunes. If you have questions that you want to answer on podcast, just go on our Facebook page at Peter's Proffer, post a question, and we'll get it answered on one of the podcasts that we do once a week. But for now, just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. All right, so we have Andrew Gincola in here, and throughout the podcast, you'll probably hear that I call him Andy. I'm the only person that calls him Andy, and he always introduces himself as Andrew. On his blog, he says he's Andrew, so we'll go with Andrew as long as I can remember. So Andy, thanks for being with us today. We're going to jump into some of the world of finance, and so I talked about you a little bit on the intro, but Andy's not a financial planner, not a banker, nothing like that. He didn't get some, you know, PhD in finance or something. So what Andy is a self-made financer. He basically worked in Fortune 500 companies in the finance department, and he's currently the finance director at Elite Industrial. And what he does in his downtime, if you want to call it, is he blogs about finance. The blog is called Dollar After Dollar. It was picked up by AOL and some other sites, and he does it, you know, periodically, as he'll post blogs on saving or investing or budgeting and things like that. And really the point of the blog is to help everyday people deal with their finances and take better care of their money. So Andy, thanks for being with us, man.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. So let's talk about the blog Dollar After Dollar. How'd you come up with the idea, and when did you actually start blogging?
So I came up with the idea. I developed a passion for finance at a really young age. At 13 years old, I actually bought my first stock. And from then on, I just kept researching and looking through the processes of how to develop a secure and wealth-building financial future. So as time progressed, I began to pick up tips and things like that, and I really saw it working. And so for me, starting the blog was pretty much a no-brainer, because I had people, you know, seeing some of the success and coming up and asking me questions all the time, and I felt like it was a great place to actually have it all just unfold, where people can go and look and realize that they can unlock this potential as well.
Okay, and when did you start it?
I started it in 2015.
Okay, so that's like pretty early on in the blogosphere of when that stuff was actually going on. And how did it kind of gain traction? How did people reach out to you, like AOL, and start publishing it on their sites and things like that?
So it started, pretty much my mom was the only person that read it at the beginning, and that was it. But it started off really slow, and it started to gain traction slowly. People started sharing articles on Twitter and social media and things like that. And as it progressed, you know, other sites started to pick it up, and it would be featured on other blogs and things like that. And then finally AOL came and they saw the traction as well, and picked us up as a writer for some specific topics that they wanted as well.
So when you set out to build the site, we're going to talk about building a successful blog kind of at the end, but just talking specifically about your blog, what were some of the building blocks you wanted to be in the site? Because a finance site could really be wide ranging. What were some of the things you wanted to focus your blog on, and why'd you pick them?
So I wanted to niche down on people who really did not want to think about finance at all, and kind of make it easy for them to understand how they can, you know, grow their wealth, because anybody, I believe, can be wealthy. And so that was my goal, was to help people in that process. And so that's why I try to break down everything I can. And that was the biggest facet. So between investing and saving and different aspects on that side, you can really grow your wealth. And that's what I wanted to show people.
Right. So, and we talked a little bit before the podcast about a lot of these financial planners and some of these, you know, big firms that deal with financial planning for some wealthy clients. You have to have $500,000 or some amount of money before you can even get into those financial planning firms. Also, a ton of people, if they don't know anything about finance, they don't want to try to do anything because they think it's just, I'll just, you know, I have my 401k and that's all I have. And I'll just work and pay for stuff as I go. So what your blog kind of does is make it for make it easy for that person to see I can actually start building my wealth no matter how much I make, right? So part of your thing is you don't have to be make, you know, $100,000 a year or anything like that to start building your wealth. You can do it on $30,000 a year or whatever it is you have. And, you know, some of my favorite blogs that I read when I looked through the site were on budgeting too, because that I think is something so many people miss. And, you know, something I've talked about so much with my wife, trying to get us to figure out what our actual budget is and do that properly. But so when I look at it, it looked to me like some of the building blocks really were around savings, budgeting, and investing. So when you're coming around and building these blogs on these different categories, what are some easy and practical ways that you've explained in the blog that that people, no matter how much money they have, can actually work on saving?
So specifically for saving, there's two ways to save money particularly. There's either you can cut back or you can
cut
earn
back
more,
your spending.
Cut back on your spending, exactly. Right. Or you can earn more income. Now, I tell everybody to start by cutting back. And cutting back is, you know, a lot of people will tell you, you know, focus on the $2 latte that you spend every day and things like that. But really what you want to focus on.
Where do they find
on,
a $2 latte?
And that's where I, that's what I want to
do. Yeah. That's how I could save money if I could get a $2 latte.
Exactly. But they focus on those little small things. And really what I try to tell people is to focus on the big three, which is housing, food, and then transportation. If you can cut back on those items, you can really save a significant amount. So if you're really struggling and say you're paying, you know, way too much on your auto loan or something like that, then you can cut back, save a few hundred dollars instead of $2 on your
Get a cheaper car or spend less at the grocery store, find different recipes to make less expensive
and,
dinners or whatever.
Exactly. And a lot of people will focus too much on that small stuff. And the small stuff can add up to big items, but the bigger stuff is a much bigger differentiator for most people. But the second thing is increasing your income. And this is what I really target, because I believe in, if you really want to build wealth, you want to increase your income. And there's a couple of ways to do so. One that I had is I started, you know, when I started in the corporate world, I made $30,000 a year. I wasn't happy with it at all. So I started to look at ways, how can I make more money? And the first thing I did was start to build skills. So, in my own job, I wanted to make more money that way. So, you know, like for example, you know, the guys that I saw that were really escalating in finance were really good at reporting. And so I would take Excel classes and learn everything I could about Excel and create these reports that nobody else could create. And that created an asset for the company that could increase my income. And this is where you can really maintain the same lifestyle you have, but increase your income and still save way more money. So that's where I like to focus on it, because you can hit your goals that way much more.
And there are so many jobs I know that you can get certifications by taking classes or whatever.
Exactly.
So you become, like you said, an asset to your company, and also you become poachable by another company, you know, maybe. So you're saying, when you say make more income, you don't say like go ask your boss for a raise. You mean make yourself more profitable and more of an asset internally for whatever it is that you can do.
Exactly. That's a big piece of it. Now, if that's not an option for you, if you're in, say, social work or something like that, then another option would be to go along and do what's called a side hustle, which is you know, starting another small business or something like that, where you can increase your income that way. And there's so many different ways that you can do that. It's unbelievable. So look at your passions or something like that and create a business around it.
Exactly. And a lot of that you can either, especially in this day and age, right? So you talk about blogs or podcasts or whatever, you can do things on the side that become income generating, right?
Exactly.
And they may not be a lot of money, but every little bit helps, especially when you're saving. If you learn to live off whatever your main hustle is, then your side hustle can totally be savings.
Exactly. And so, that's why I've seen a lot of people accelerate their growth. And sometimes if you're great and your side hustle can become your full-time job. It just depends on how you structure it.
Right. And I know some of that happened in your career also, is when you had a side hustle in investing in property and things like that, that became your main career for a while until you got this job. So I mean, and that stuff can happen as well. And you can also find, once you start to build your wealth, and we'll get to that section, I guess we could talk about it now, when you talk about investing, talk about, so first off, building your wealth, one of the ways that you said to do it was increase your income. If you just say that, people don't necessarily know what that means, or my first inclination would be like, make more money at your job or get a better job. But that's not necessarily what you mean. It can be a side hustle, like you said, or it can be finding ways to make yourself more profitable. So when you talk about investing, you don't just mean, you know, like calling a financial planner or stockbroker or something, investing your money in stocks, although you can do that personally, like you said, when you were 13. What other ways do you tell people that they can just invest their money kind of on their own?
The biggest way is to passively invest into what I call, well, they're index funds, basically. So what you're doing is you're investing in the total market of the U.S. economy, essentially. So there's two types. There's an S&P 500 index fund, and then there's a total stock market index fund. And all these are is a collection of the largest companies in the country. So you're buying Facebook, Google, Amazon, all these huge companies, all in one big basket. So they've earned on average a 7.9% rate of return for the past 40 years. But on top of that, and in addition, they're the lowest cost funds that you can buy. So you can automatically set them up where you have a certain amount of money going into these funds, and that it'll grow at that same rate of return. So the biggest key to that is, if you're new to investing, is you do not sell ever until you're ready to retire.
And you explain kind of how to do that on the blog.
Exactly. So I have step-by-step on how you can do so. And some resources that you can look at index funds would be Vanguard or Fidelity or anything like that. They all have them now.
That was going to be kind of one of the things I want to talk about each section, which I already missed when we were talking about savings. Do you point out certain sources or resources that people can either read a book or go to a site to follow in addition to your blog to see, like, you know, this is some other tips or some other ways you can save?
Absolutely. And that's the biggest thing for me is kind of self-learning as you go through the process. There's plenty of books out there for each aspect. So in terms of like saving, if you want to look at more resources on saving, is The Millionaire Next Door is a fantastic book. It kind of teaches you how to think differently about everything in life in terms of, you know, you see a guy in a Ferrari, he potentially may not, you know, he's actually spending more money than he's making a lot of times.
Oh yeah. A lot of people are like, you can't, well, that's just one tip generally in life is you don't want to count other people's money because
exactly.
You never know how somebody's living, how much somebody's saving, how much somebody's spending, how much somebody's making. So that's the worst thing you can do is look at what other people have and try to base your job and your wealth on that.
Exactly.
So, and that's one of the cool things is just by reading the blog too, you can get other resources to read. If there's a specific area you're more interested than another area, you can really dig deeper into whatever the resources are that Andy puts out on the website. So when you're talking about investing, you talked about the funds that you have people buy and you kind of do step by step and you give some resources of what they can look at and how to do that. What other kinds of investing do you talk about on the website?
So there's another type, which is real estate investing. Now, this is something that you're going to have to get a little bit of skill to be able to do and understand some.
And you got to have money to do that.
Exactly. So that would be your next step later on down the line. And that's something that you can look at to diversify. You definitely do need money to have it, though, because if problems will arise, it's more hands-on. It's not as passive
right.
as the other
you can, that can sink you very quickly if
exactly.
you don't have, if you're spending your last dollar on some real estate, you might have to hold longer than you want. But
exactly.
And those are the types of things he talks about. One of the other cool things about the blog and the website is he uses a lot of personal examples, and he talks about how he went through some bad decisions and some struggles here and there, or making a bad financial decision and learning from it. And he talks about those throughout. And like he said, when he started making $30,000, he was still building his wealth, making $30,000. So there's some, it's not just, oh, here's this guy with finance that now has money and it's a lot easier to him to do real estate investing and whatever. It shows kind of how the steps you can take to get there. And I know he's talked to some of our friends about it, and some of my friends specifically, just what to do with their 401k, or if they can save $5,000 a year and put it in a
Roth IRA, yep,
and
exactly.
what benefits there are to a Roth IRA. And there are specifics in the blog like that, which are cool. I'm talking general, we're doing a podcast. We're just kind of getting an overview of the site, but the site goes into specifics on what you can do, no matter where you are with your finances or where you are in life. And, you know, there are even some blogs and resources about, you know, paying off debt and things like that, which is also another aspect of saving, you know, paying off
exactly.
your debt. So, okay, let's get into the third one, which I seem to like the most. I don't know why, which is just budgeting. So when you talk about budgeting, what are some of the important things that you tell people? Do you give them specific budgeting tools? What do you kind of explain on how to budget and why it's important to budget?
So to a lot of people frame budgeting as restriction, and it's
right.
it's not at all. There's nothing restrictive about it. What it does is it creates awareness on your money. So it gives you an opportunity to put your money exactly where you want it instead of just spending it frivolously on things that you really don't care about. So,
and just nobody knows how much they spend on anything.
Exactly.
If you don't have a budget, there's no way you know how much you spend on food or clothes or going out or eating or movies or whatever.
Exactly. And before I had one, I would get to the end of the month and be like, where the heck did all my money go?
Right.
I have no idea where it is. And so I I buckled down and tried to figure out what was going on. And I talked to people all the time without the same process, where they think they don't spend much money, and then we go and add it up, and they're spending $900 for one person on a grocery bill. So,
right.
So that is the first thing that you want to do is kind of buckle it down and figure out your budget, because it will target your money to exactly where you want to go. And I tell people to spend lavishly on the things that you want and be very, very conscious and cut down on the things you don't care about, because that's what it's all about. So there's two ways to budget. And one way is, and I've tried this before, it doesn't work for me, some people it works fantastically for, is to save what you want to save off the top, cut it off, and then the rest of the money that you have left over, you spend it. And this works for some people. It doesn't work for me because there's not enough awareness on my end. So what I do is I do more niche down budgeting. And there's four rules that I use for that. And the first one is, when you come into that process, you want to give every single dollar you make a job. So I don't care if your grandma sent you $5 for your birthday or something like that. You want to give every dollar a job, meaning that each dollar that you make is going towards something. So say you have a mortgage you have to pay next month, or your rent. And so you put that money towards that so that you can actually spend on your priorities later on. So the second rule is that you want to actually recognize your true expenses. So what that means is a couple of facets. So say everyone spends money on Christmas, for example, and a lot of people will come up and go into debt during Christmas time. Mm-hmm. And so what I do is at the end of the month of every December, I look at how much I spent on Christmas that year. I divide it by 12, and then I break it down monthly, and I save each month for the Christmas bill, for example. So there's no surprises, there's nothing, there's no debt, there's no issues coming up, there's no stress. Same thing like if you save for your car repairs, for example. Everyone's car is going to break down. It doesn't matter if you have a brand new car or whatever you have.
So some people have like contingency sections of their budget. You break it down even further into what that contingency might be.
And yes, and you don't have to go this niche down. You can have like an emergency fund, but just be aware that it's going to happen.
Right. Andy is a super planner,
right?
Like down to, which is cool to see and to read a blog on, because you can take it and pare it down. So basically you can and like you said, there's some as general as make sure you save $500 a month and the rest you can spend, or you can go as detailed as a car repair contingency fund, not just contingency for any repairs, house, car, whatever, but just a car one. You can have a house one, you can have a whatever one you want. And, you know, you can have a golf budget or a, you know, entertainment budget or whatever you call it, but to actually break it down and see where every dollar's going, because that's the only way you can really change your spending habits, really, is to know how you're spending.
Exactly. And that's the big key to it. And then the third piece, and this is where a lot of people fall off the wagon, mm-hmm. is to roll with the punches, meaning you're never going to have a perfect month. I've never had a perfect month in my entire life. You're going to spend too much on groceries here. But what you do is you recover on another category. So based on you spent way too much on groceries, where you add a little bit from your personal care budget or whatever it is,
right.
Just to kind of recover. So you forgive yourself each month, because that's going to happen.
You spend too much on groceries, you just don't shower for the next
exactly.
2 weeks.
Exactly. Or you can do it that way. Exactly.
Okay. What? And then there's four, you said?
Yeah. Right, what's the fourth? And then the last one is you want to get ahead. So what's going to happen is, when you're aware of your money, you're going to start to notice it pile up slowly. And all of a sudden now, what you got paid for last month, you're spending on this month's budget. And so you'll start to see it get ahead more and more and more, and it's going to increase to 6 months, to a year. And then you'll see it really build up. And it's a really cool feeling, because you have no financial stress at all once you hit that point.
Okay. So, and again, I agree. I think the third point, where once you fail, not to quit your budget, right?
Exactly.
That's one of the issues, that I've had when I talk to a lot of people about it, is like, they're like, I can't do it. Like, once I fail, it's over. It's like, well, you know, you could fail. Even if you fail by $100 or whatever that month, you still saved so much more money than if you didn't have a budget at all.
Absolutely.
Right? So it's still a success. So I think that's always funny when it comes to budgeting, how people look at it. So overall, those are the kind of tips you can find on the blog. He goes a lot more in detail. And do you have like a request or drop if somebody wants something specific to be done on the blog? Is there a click or an email or something somebody can send to you if they want something specific?
Yes. So you can email me at andrew@dollarafterdollar.com.
Okay.
I answer all of them, so I get emails all day long. But you can
is it actually dollar after dollar, or is it dollar X dollar?
It's dollar after dollar on the email.
Okay.
So it's actually dollar after dollar.
And the site is dollarafterdollar.com.
Exactly.
Okay. So for the last part, to kind of get off the finance road for a second and talk about blogs generally. So when you built a blog, how did you start? What are the important things to kind of build a blog that works? You don't just go on a WordPress and, you know, post a paragraph, because even though that's what people are reading, it's the words on the page. There's got to be so much more that goes into it. So what is it and where do you kind of start?
So the biggest piece is figuring out the topic that you're passionate about first. You know, like for example, for me, I'm passionate about finance. I could go on about this all day long. And once you pick that passion topic, you got to realize up front, nobody's going to read it at the beginning. So if you want to build a successful blog, you got to stick with it.
That's the thing with anything. You can't expect like, oh, I'm passionate about finance, I'm gonna start writing, and now everybody's gonna read it, because that's just not gonna happen.
Exactly. And a lot of people do that and they just quit after, you know, 2 months or something
But a lot of people have a lot to give and stuff like this, and the world has never been easier to put knowledge you can share with other people out into the interwebs for other people to read than it is now.
Exactly. And that's the big key, is just understanding that process. And then once you do it, just sticking to a consistent schedule is a huge piece. So you know, whether it's weekly or biweekly or monthly or twice a week, it doesn't really matter, but you got to stick consistently to that schedule, and you will build up an audience based on just being consistent. That's huge. And then once you start doing that and you start growing, then there's other aspects you can go into. But that's kind of the baseline of how to think about it, is to, you want to help people and you want to make sure that it's something that you're passionate about and that you'll stick to.
Okay. And then the nuts and bolts, how do you pick a website, pick a name, pick pictures that you put? How do you deal with all that when you're kind of putting a blog together?
So when you're starting out, I use a resource called Bluehost.com, and that's where your hosting your site will come from.
Does it cost money?
It does. It's okay. $3.95 a month, I think is what it is right now. So it's
worth
cheap.
It though. But I also think that keeps you going too, right? If you're going to invest a little bit of money into it, if you want to make it a real thing, even if it doesn't become income generating for a long time, you know, $3.95 is something you can
exactly
deal with, especially if you're creating it as a side job, like you're saying.
Exactly. And then from there, what you want to do is you'll go find your domain name, and you're going to go through a laundry list of them at first, because there's just so many taken now. It's the internet, obviously. And you can do that on Bluehost. They'll do it for you. Or you can do, I like the GoDaddy site, just because it's kind of easier to search for stuff on there. But you search for the domain name. If it's available, you buy it. It's usually around $20 or less. And then from there, then you know, there's steps that you can take to stick it on your WordPress.
Unless it's like caraccidentlawyerflorida.com. They try
exactly
to get like $5,000 for that.
Exactly.
I'm like, we're good. Thanks, though.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm in one right now, banksmart.com. I'm in a negotiation with it.
Yeah.
They're trying to jack it.
It's crazy. It's like, well, who really cares? You can make it banksmarter.com
exactly
or whatever. But anyways, okay, so you pick a name. How'd you come up with dollar after dollar?
So I went through, I had a huge list of names. It was really one of the only ones available. I wish I shortened it a little bit now, but at the same time, it works, and it's worked for me. So .com was key, I think.
Yeah.
On that end, you can go .org, I guess, or something else, but .com is really where the search engine will really find you there.
Okay. And then do you do all the designing and stuff yourself?
I do. And that was a huge learning curve, but going through the process, there's WordPress, which is what you put on your Bluehost site, and it's much easier to use. It's kind of self-explanatory, and there's YouTube videos and things that you can watch to learn how to do that. Or you can pay a developer. It's, you know, some of them are only a couple $1,000 if they're starting off, and they do good work as well.
Right. So what do you think is one of the hardest parts of continuing the blog? Because for me, when we talk about, you know, podcasts and we come up with stuff each month, we come kind of a rundown of what we're going to do this month, who we're going to have in as guests. For me, the hardest part of the podcast is just content, getting more good content that people care about. That's why the listener questions are so fun. Whenever they ask a listener question, it's more content that we can find somebody, or we can be the experts on it to explain it. Something like that. What's hard about the blog? Is it how long it takes to write it? Is it finding content? What is it?
It is it's sort of a grind when you come up to the writing portion of it, and you got to stay consistent with the writing. Sometimes some of my articles can take 10 hours if they're, you know, so I have articles that are 9,000 words that'll take forever. And especially when nobody's reading and you're writing, you're doing all that work and you're taking all this time to put it in, that's the hardest part, is getting through that hump. And then once people start to recognize you, then you're going to be more motivated as you go forward in that process.
What's really cool about your blog and what I tried to do with our podcast is it's not a, you know, June 6th, which is the day that we're recording this. You won't hear it June 6th, but June 6th, 2019, nobody's going to care about this on June 7th. Like your blog, you can go today and read a blog you wrote 2 years ago, and it can still be relevant and the people can still learn something about it. That's like how a lot of ours are too, is, you know, we talk about, you know, the death penalty. Well, that's going to be relevant 5 years from now, just like it was the day that we recorded it. So that's something that's cool about your blog too, is it stays relevant. It's at least most of them stay relevant even after you write them, because they have information like that 9,000 words, even if nobody read it the day that you wrote it. 5 years later, people can look back and read it.
Exactly. And that's one thing, they call it evergreen content that you want to focus on, is to maintain that content that's going to last forever. And the reason being is a lot of times Google search engines will pick it up farther on down the line. I have articles that I wrote, you know, my best performing articles are ones that I wrote 5 years ago instead of the ones I wrote, you know, 2 months ago. So that's kind of how it works on that end. So once you have that evergreen content that lives on forever, you have a product that's really great for people.
Okay. And then how do you disseminate the blog content? Do you do any SEO, any pay-per-click? Do you do newsletters? I know you do newsletters. That's why I mentioned that. So how do you kind of get it out there for people to see?
So I use some social sites. One of my main ones is Twitter, and actually Pinterest, which I was really hesitant to start a Pinterest.
I don't have one.
It's like I get like 70,000 people a month from Pinterest.
That's crazy.
It starts to overpin. But then on top of that, I do use the newsletters, and then SEO is a big thing for me. I focus on.
Do you mail out? Do you do like email newsletters?
Email newsletters, okay. Yes, exactly. And then SEO was a big thing for me to focus on. And at first, there's
SEO is search engine optimization.
Exactly.
Just for, I guess, people that don't know, but both of our worlds happen to live in SEO.
Right. Yeah. It's basically how Google finds your article or whatever you wrote.
Right.
But there's ways that you can do that and focus down and learn that process. But there's easy plugins that you can get. A plugin is something like an app you download onto your website that'll kind of help you along that process as well.
Okay, so when people reach out to you either through the newsletter or through Pinterest, like you're talking about, what is some of the feedback that you get, and how do you implement it into the blog going forward to kind of shape your blog so that it's something that people want to read?
So a lot of times I will take contact. I'll see questions coming across that I get constantly over and over and over again, and I'll turn that into content. That's one way I find content. And that comes up constantly. And then there's obviously always the negative comments that come up as well, where people will be argumentative or whatever. Usually I just ignore those. But a lot of times it's usually pretty, especially on the finance side, it's usually pretty pretty good on that side. So that's where I create a lot of my content, is based on those questions as well.
So when somebody starts a blog and they start doing the work and nobody's really reading, and you know they have to keep grinding it out and keep doing it, what are some of the things that you can do to kind of make it more fun or make yourself keep coming back to it? How do you kind of get over the initial hump and get some people to start reading it? How'd you build an email list for the newsletter? How did you, you know, get people to start pinning it on Pinterest or whatever you do on Pinterest? How did you get that ball to start rolling?
So the first thing I did was to guest post on other people's blogs. So there'd be blogs that are just a little bit bigger than mine. I tried with the real big ones. They wouldn't even answer me. So I would look at blogs that, you know, maybe had double the people that I had at the very beginning. So if I have 100, they have, you know, 350 or something like that read their blog. Then once you get this guest posting, people are going to read it and they're going to link back to your site, and you're going to start to slowly build content. And that's what I did, and I did that over and over again. It's a lot of work, but at the same time, it's worth it because you're going to get new readers all the time. And once they subscribe to your email list, you kind of have them locked in terms of having them as a lifer.
Usually that means that they're interested in whatever the topic is you're writing about, like you're reading, things like that. So
exactly.
That's awesome.
So that's one of the main keys that I used. And then I used obviously social again, and then there were some other ways that, like, you can use Facebook ads, and some people are really successful with that.
Right.
And it's a great way to find new readers, but it's a paid way to do it. But it's a great way if you want to invest or make more money into a blog, because you can make huge money in a blog if you really work at it.
And that it's all a balance of, is that oversaturated? Do people look at their Facebook ads? Stuff
exactly.
Like that. You know, some people swear by it. Some people won't do it at all. It's just like any marketing that you do, you know, it can go either way.
Exactly. And for me, when I started, and I'm still as frugal as I am now, I just didn't want to pay for any ads, but it really does work. I know people that do it, and they get hundreds of thousands of readers based on that.
But that's cool. I think that, you know, posting on other people's blogs or guest writing, because it's content for them.
Exactly.
It's free content for them. And a lot of this, in case people haven't picked it up, a lot of this is free work that you're doing, right?
Right.
So you want to be on their blog to get the readers to continue to build yours, but you're giving them free content, so it's kind of mutually beneficial.
Exactly. And that's the biggest thing, is you can do this and you can build up a huge following just based on doing free thing, $200 a month for your hosting, and that's about
right.
it.
Right. Exactly. So, all right, so people learned about finance, they learned about building a blog. This was fun, man. Thanks so much for coming on.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast, you end up waiting a lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin?
Start your engine!
I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. That's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.